Thank you, Mark. This is a special meeting for Planning and Zoning Commission, Thursday, July 18th, 2024. It is 7:02. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I will call the roll. Raul Sanchez here. Gino DiGiovanni. Al Mizowitz.
Here.
Ray Sadlick. Ray.
Here.
Bill Harris.
Here.
Dave Kubjanski.
Here.
Dan Blitzman. And I see that Brian Lima is here. And Ryan McAvoy is here as well. As far as communications, there are no communications at this time. Public portion, is there, would there be anybody here from the public other than public hearing?
Mr. Sanchez, I just
There's,
want to make
yeah.
sure you went in and out. So there are six
Okay.
members present. The only one I heard absent was Mr.
Six.
DiGiovanni. Is that
Yes.
correct? Okay,
Yes,
so six
correct.
members
It is
present.
six. Yes, Mark. Thank you. So this is. Is there anyone from the public who addresses the agenda?
Kathy Berrios here from the public.
Okay, Kathy. When we get to the public hearing, then you can speak.
Okay.
Thank you. This is a continuation of the public hearing, so there is no need for a motion to open the public hearing. Is that correct, Mark? Or Ryan?
You can make a motion to reopen the public hearing. That's fine.
Okay, make a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Dan Blitzman. Any all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So the public hearing is open. This is for 6A Theodore Estewan, Cynthia Estewan, 43 Franklin Avenue, resubdivision application for a two-lot resubdivision. Is there anyone from the applicant who'd like to speak? Please give your name and the address for the record.
Can you hear me, sir? It's Attorney John Sponheimer, representing Mr. and Mrs. Eswan, and we put a pre we present we had our presentation our before at the public hearing last time. We're here to I believe our engineer is here. If there's any questions that anyone may have, I can report that the Board of Aldermen approved the transfer of the portion, the excess land in Derby last night unanimously, and the board, there should be some notification to the board of that.
Yes, I was notified of that. I don't know if any of the other board members were made aware of that. As far as the vote was unanimous, 7-0 last night.
Please speak up. Can't hear you.
Is there anything else to report, Mr. Sponheimer?
Other than that, as I said, we have set forth our request to your board, and rather than being redundant, we can certainly answer any questions concerning any of the issues that any members may have, and certainly any of the public may bring about in this session.
Are there any questions from the commission members? Dave, are you okay?
Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Ray.
So, John Ray Sadlick here. So you have the easements all in place from the gas company and it relates to WPCA.
Ray, the gas company is still out there because there was an issue on the subordination agreement with a lender. But before that'll be taken care of in the near future. But there was the lenders also involved. There's a court action on that, but the gas company is in favor. They've already sent us the distribution easement modification, so they are in favor of it. They're just waiting back on the subordination. But that'll be, I mean, before the map is recorded, that'll be taken care of.
Okay, very good.
Hi, can I speak at this time? This is Kim Shepherd.
Hold on 1 second, please, Ms. Shepherd. Is there anyone else from the commission? Anyone else from the commission?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just have a question for Attorney Sponheimer. Did you just indicate you have the executed modification or from the gas company?
I have the executed document. It's to be signed by us and the company, but they have approved. They have approved the transfer. They're just waiting for the document. We were waiting for the subrogation to be cleared up. But they are in favor of the transfer.
Right. But you don't actually have an executed agreement at this point.
We can't yet because of this subordination agreement.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, we've seen correspondence, Brian, that the gas company is fully agreeable to the easement as shown. So basically, it's just the final paperwork, but they've made indications that they're good.
Well, I guess my concern, for what it's worth, is that there is at least some possibility that document is not forthcoming for whatever reason, whether it's most likely because of the lender, or potentially because of the lender. And at this juncture, those easements still exist of record. Now, the city one, we could probably handle relatively quickly. I'm sure John could get us title and a copy of the relevant documents. Mm-hmm. We could get it executed pretty quickly, somewhat within our control. But I do have some concern about the approving an application conditioned upon action by parties that we really don't have any control over.
Well, you can approve it subject to that, and if we don't have it, and if it's not approved by you as Corporation Counsel, then the map can't be signed.
Well, I'm not sure if that's correct because on subdivision approvals, I'm not sure if the statutory, and I don't think that this commission actually has the statutory authority to issue conditional approvals. They can, which effectively this would be. So there's some concern about, basically you're saying we'll approve it if you're able to get the gas company easement modified. I understand it's been administratively modified, but nothing's been executed, and there's potential issue there.
But it's not conditional by them. I mean, if we can have an approval, and we will stipulate that the map cannot be signed until it's unless it's signed off by Eversource. I would stipulate on that for the record.
I know it's not my turn to speak, but I am totally against that.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Dave.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. What's the timeline, the maximum time period that we have to record a subdivision map following its date of publication? It's 90 days.
90 days with the possibility of two 90-day extensions for a total of 270 days. At the termination of the appeal period, which is 15 days after the posting of the approval. So nine and a half months or thereabouts.
You were prepared for that question, I can see. Thanks, Ryan.
until we record the map on the land records, it's not official anyway.
Correct.
And we would stipulate we would not request a signature on the map until such time as we have the easement deeded over to us from the gas company. Plus, the Estwan family is in a tight situation now with the legal action there, and so we're not asking to get anything done favorably in this situation without making sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. However, if we could get approval with a stipulation that it would not be signed, nor obviously if it's not signed, it can't be recorded, we could go forward with them.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess the only question in my mind is that a practice that we can, is that something that we can do? I'm not sure who answers that question, but.
Well, I think at a meeting or two ago, I stated to the board in the context of the approval by the Board of Aldermen that under the statutory authority to approve subdivisions, I think it's pretty clear that a subdivision cannot be made subject to a condition not authorized by the statute, or where the condition is not within the control of either the applicant or the commission. So that's my concern. It's just the lack of statutory authority.
Is the lot split in and of itself a subdivision approval though? Because we're just asking that the lot be split. The presently existing lot be split.
Well, it's a re-subdivision because it was already, it's a lot within an approved subdivision. And it was merged, so it's a re-subdivision.
Brian, maybe I misunderstood you, but my understanding when you brought up what you just spoke on about us approving something conditional based on the action of another board, I took that to mean that we could not do that based on the action of another city board. Not necessarily the action of a third party like the gas company or another seller or something like that. So you're saying we don't have the statutory authority to approve this subject to any third party's actions. Is that correct?
Well, it's more of a condition issue. Under the statute, it reads approve, deny, or modify is basically the statutory authority. And that's been interpreted to mean that if an approval is conditional, that the statute doesn't basically provide the authority to do that. And I think the concern here is that the condition, it's not something, it's not like an instance where you say, well, we're going to approve it with conditions such as, installation of soil and erosion controls. I mean, that's within the regulations and within the authority of the power of the applicant. But unfortunately here, we're dependent upon third-party actors. In the last instance, it was the Board of Aldermen. In this instance, it's, the gas companies approved it, at least initially, but it's not, and if I'm hearing it correctly, it's not not final, or that approval is in and of itself subject to conditions which haven't been satisfied yet.
But I have a copy of a proposed motion in support. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
I have.
Pardon me?
Yes, I have, John.
Okay. And it says the approval shall be based on the following documents submitted in support of this application, and it's enumerated 1-8. With the following stipulated conditions: prior to endorsement by the acting chairman and conveyance of any lots from the owner, the filing of the subdivision map and all approved reductions in easement shall be filed on the Derby land records in accordance with the general statutes of the state of Connecticut. So that's a stipulated condition, and we wouldn't be able to file it unless the easement was approved. And that's right in the proposed motion for approval.
Well, I understand, but if you scratch the surface a little bit, I mean, the two easement reduction maps, re-subdivisions, I mean, the language in there is proposed. I don't think we'd be having, we would not be having this discussion if those maps had already depicted the relocated easement area. But that's the difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
It's proposed, and granted, I understand that, you know, there could be some, well, the motion prepared by Ryan, it's very well drafted. But it's dependent upon conditions.
Well,
yes, James.
I spoke with Eversource, and
I'm sorry,
they said that improvements can be done.
Just hold it, ma'am.
Ms. Shepherd, you have to hold on until I open it up to the public. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just don't want to lose my train of thought while this conversation is going on. Okay, thank you.
Yes, James, you wanted to say something?
Yes, this is Jim Galligan from Nathus & Young. I'd just like to add my two cents in on this item of conditions. External conditions are included in approvals all the time. A great example of this is if you need DOT approval for the installation of a traffic light that would be connected to the subdivision, or if the DOT needed special guide rail or striping of the roadways, or drainage easements up from them, all those conditions can be added to an approval, and they are all outside sources. So I'm a little confused. I understand what the town clerk is saying. However, just, you know, like I say, a simple DOT, they're a third party. There are subdivisions that are approved with conditions that the DOT approve entrances and those types of things onto state roads. I would suggest that approvals of third parties are a regular routine situation for subdivisions.
Ryan, do you have anything to add to that?
I would agree with the applicant's engineer that, you know, there's often cases where, you know, approval from the DOT or approval from, final approval from a WPCA or something like that is required. In this case, I'm pretty confident we've seen a willingness from the Eversource to adopt and approve the language of the easement as shown on the maps that have been provided. And if for some reason the applicant cannot secure the actual easement language recorded in the land records, then they're not going to be in position to record the Mylar, and the application or the subdivision would become null and void eventually.
If we don't get, well, it isn't necessarily easement language. It's the conveyance of the extra property. If we don't get that, then we wouldn't go forward with it anyway. All they would be doing would be the same thing with the city. It's going to just be quit claiming that excess land, which they don't need. If you can see, and the engineer has said that it is excess because on both sides, it's not needed at all. So all they will do is eventually just give for the land records, just give a quit claim of the excess land, and then we will do the subdivision map.
John or Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Attorney Sponheimer. John, I don't believe that they actually own that land. They just have an easement over that.
Right. They don't own it at all.
Right.
But they would give us a quit claim of their interest in that land by virtue of their easement. The Estuans own the land.
Oh.
The quit claim is of their interest is delineated out by meets and bounds of their interest in that, a superfluous easement area.
Correct. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yep. Brian, did you have anything else?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Brian.
Brian. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ryan or Brian? It's Brian. I'm sorry?
Mr. Lima.
Thank you, Rob. Well, my only comment is with the conditions, those types of conditions I typically see on site plans and special permits and those types of applications, as opposed to the subdivision application or re-subdivision application that we're referring to here. They're distinct types of applications and distinct statutory authority.
But since we already own the land, we are really just getting a release of an easement on the land we already own.
I would agree with that. I would think a quick claim is appropriate, but it's just somewhat of a cart before the horse, unfortunately, in my opinion.
Well, if it wasn't such a pending situation with the lender also, I would say we'd keep on coming, but we need to show some positivity out of what we've done in order to hold off the lender right now. And I don't think if we can't record this map until everything is done anyway, it doesn't put the city in any different situation than it's in right now.
Are there any other comments from commission members? Any other comments? So this is a public hearing. I will open it up to the public. If you'd like to speak, please give your name and address for the record.
My name is Kathy Barrios. I live at 19 Franklin Avenue. And I too have consulted with my attorney and with surveyors, and I'm super concerned about this gas easement not being approved. And even if the reduction is approved, we have no independent engineers that have looked at this. I've had people look at the maps that you all have put up here on the screens that differ from the maps that I have according to my deed in regards to the measurements of my property and where my property lines are. So I am super concerned about someone building a home and putting in a driveway and these easement changes that are right smack next door to my house, and how that is going to impact my property, my irrigation, my vegetation, my property. I have no idea where the pins are for these easements right now. I've taken my neighbor on their word for years as to, okay, the fence line is my property. Well, now we're at a total different level here. And I don't think that these meetings are serving the neighbors as much as they are serving the committee and the applicant.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Kim Shepherd, 14 Bonanto Drive. Is there any way that we can request an independent review on this? I've been in contact with Eversource, and no improvements can be made within that easement without a permit. And they had, at the point when I was speaking with them, none of the information was sent to them. And then the map that was sent to the Eversource person, she could not make heads or tails of it.
I'd like to answer that, Ms. Shepherd. This application is a subdivision application. It does not consider any improvements upon the land itself. It considers the subdivision of the land, or the dividing it into two properties. Any improvements upon the land itself, i.e., or for example, a home, a single family home, could not be located within the gas easement.
Okay.
So this application doesn't propose a house per se, but if it is approved, there would be an opportunity for a future owner of the lot known as Lot 2 to pursue a building permit for a single family house. They would not be permitted whatsoever to build a house within the Eversource easement or the City of Derby easement.
Right.
Can anybody share with us where literally I live next door. Can anybody share with me where the pins are right now for this easement? Because like I said, I mean, we've been good neighbors for over 20 years. I have no idea now where my property line is based on what the applicant said and what they wished for, which we respected. But now all of this is going on. I have no idea how that's going to impact anything on my property. And we want to do improvements without having the gas reduction approved and without having any independent people come in here and look at this. And I've showed it to both my attorney and a surveyor, and there are some concerns. There's some concerns here.
Mr. Chairman, if you like, Mr. Chairman, the engineer, our engineer can certainly discuss the easement and tell them exactly what is being taken off on what side. If the map is already on file, as you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've looked at the map that I got in the mail, which is so distorted that it's almost impossible to, I mean, it was hard enough to read the date when that surveillance was done. And then I've requested maps since all of these meetings because my property lines are not depicted correctly on the maps that you guys are using. So forgive me that, you know, all of this is being done within your committee, but who's protecting the neighbors and the people? Who's protecting us?
Can we all have the documents and maybe all these documents be in one place so we could see them? Different maps were presented at different times.
All maps as part of this application are on record at the building office. And they've been posted on the city website for meetings that have been held in regards to this application.
And with all due respect, the map from my property, which shows a revision of the property lines, is not the map that you're using. And I got that directly from the City of Derby again, just to be clear that the map I had and the one that the City of Derby has are the same. But it is not the same as the map that you are showing.
Mr. Chairman, we have an A2 survey that's on file, and Mr. Gallagher can certainly discuss that. I mean, it's an A2 survey by an extremely competent engineering firm, so we have no doubt that everything is perfect on our map. I don't know anything about an old City of Derby map, but this is an A2 survey, and it's sworn to as such.
Is there a map that exists now with the easement reduction that can be shared and put on the screen?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have Mr. Nick McClay with us tonight. He's he's listed as Napis and Young. If you allow him to bring those the drawings up, we can do that and I can discuss that. So what you see now is the easement as it exists today. That pink area is the easement in favor of the gas company and the town of Derby. And then we have a second map that shows the. If you could blow that up, Nick, that would be great. Yep. So the red area is the area that is to be released by the gas company, and the green area is the area of the subdivision, I mean of the easement, And as you can see from this picture, the house that's proposed or potentially proposed for the site is all the way on the other side. It's on the Estwan side of the parcel, on the Estwan side of the easement. It's quite a distance away from the Berrios property. It's more than 50 feet because the easement there is retained as 42.8 feet. So it's quite a distance away from the house.
Can you tell me what restrictions the person that bought this lot would have as to what they could or could not put on that easement?
Well, they certainly can't put any houses or anything of that nature.
But what can they put on the easement? That's what I'm asking you.
They can't put any permanent structure of any kind on an easement. Nothing. You never can.
Yeah, so to answer your question, I think I'll restate that they cannot put any type of permanent structure within that easement area, within that green area.
That would include like fencing, because that would be a permanent structure. So they can't put a fence on
that. I don't think fencing is considered a structure.
I believe it's considered a structure.
Thank you.
What about a driveway?
Where would they could never put. They couldn't put a driveway there. There has to be absolute access to the easement at all times, according to the easement language.
But they could put one there, right? That's my point. They could put one there, and the only potential would be that if something went wrong, that they have the risk of something being torn up or taken out. But they could put vegetation or fence or driveway. Is that not correct?
The existing language in the easement from 30 years ago determines it determines what can or cannot be done in that easement site. We are having nothing to do with changing any of the language in the original easement. All this is doing is removing some excess easement land, but there's no change whatsoever in the present existing easement, which is in the changes which are proposed.
Can somebody share that language with the neighbors that are subject to this re-subdivision? Because I would like to see it, because clearly there's a fence on the easement now. So what's to stop somebody from taking down trees, putting up trees, putting in a driveway, or anything else other than a house guaranteed?
It's whatever the original language in the easement is.
I don't have the original language of the easement, is what I'm saying.
To be honest, ma'am, it's not our responsibility to get that for you. That language has been present in that easement for over 30 years.
All right. Well, then apparently I'm going to have to request that language. Whom would I request that from?
You'd probably have to go to City Hall, and you'd be able to get it.
Right. I thought that I was talking with City Hall here.
The language of that easement, Ms. Berrios, is recorded on the land records, and it's been so for decades. The city clerk's office has all that information. It is really not. It's not really the purpose of this application to discuss the restrictions that may or may not exist on that gas easement today.
Well, the restrictions impact my property, though. I see the red that's what's proposed to be taken away, and what they're gaining on that side, which leads me to believe they can do whatever they want on that property that gets taken away, which is
Ms. Berrios, there's a side setback of 16 feet, which would off the sideline, and a front setback of, I believe, 40 feet, if I'm not mistaken, that there'd be essentially no structure that would be permitted in that triangle that you see there, that red triangle. There really would be no ability to build a structure in that area that would meet the setbacks and stay out of the easement as proposed.
Right. But they could disturb whatever already exists in those areas. Is that correct?
Yes. That area is presently subject to a gas easement in favor of Eversource and the city of Derby. The city of Derby, Eversource, or the property owner could go in there and remove vegetation without a permit. Today, without outside of this subdivision.
That's exactly why I would like to know where the pins are for the easement, because, you know, when you go on based on a map and somebody's property line, and I've lived here for over 20 years and have irrigation and have invisible fence and have vegetation, I would hate to see the re-subdivision change the whole sideline of my property to my home.
I think the best way to protect yourself in that regard would be to get your own A2 survey done of your own property. And then you'll have exactly the map of your property, and you can compare it to the latest A2 survey of this property.
I can certainly do that, but you know, we're moving into civil then, as opposed to trying to resolve this, where I was hoping the city was on both sides, not just the applicant sides, but the other property owners as well.
Well, I think part of this is you having an easement, and Brian, correct me if I'm misunderstanding this, Ms. Berrios, part of this, what they're proposing is releasing an easement on your property as well, which is a good thing.
Right, Dan, I was just going to say that what easement you had, Ms. Berrios, on your property is no longer, because it's that red triangle above property line and just below your name. So that triangle that used to be an easement on your property no longer exists.
I understand that,
but it also
opens up the property on the other side of my property line that is no longer easement either. I understand,
right, but that's for very limited purposes.
You have a 16-foot side setback, you have a front setback. What's left over in there for a potential structure would be maybe a couple hundred square feet. So in reality, there's very little that could go in that area.
Mr. Chairman, if I might,
I understand Mrs. Berrios' concern about the property lines. I think there's one thing, this or two things that are missing in this conversation. Is one, the first is we're not changing any property line between the two properties. All right. So there's no change in that property line that exists today will be the property line as it exists tomorrow. There's no change to that. Secondly, the house, as it's shown on the plan, and you can see it's on the other side of the easement. There's not enough room in that orange or red, pink, whatever color you choose area to put a house when you put the setbacks in there, as Ryan has mentioned. So it's virtually impossible to put a house over in that red hashed area. It won't fit.
Right. I don't want to speak for Mrs. Barrios, but I believe her concern is that now just below, I don't see the direction arrows, but just below that property line, it says property line south 95 degrees, 19. Mm-hmm. Yes. She's concerned, and again, I'm not meaning to speak for you, I believe she's concerned that a structure can be put there. A permanent structure could be put there, like a shed
I know.
And again, I don't mean to speak for Ms. Barrios, but I think that's her main concern, is that now that the easement has been relieved just below her property line as it comes off of Franklin, that's enough room to put some sort of structure, permanent, and no matter what size it might be. I think that's her concern. But like I said, I'm not trying to speak for you, Ms. Barrios, but I believe that's part of your concern, correct? That now there is no longer an easement below that property line.
Exactly. It is my concern. Right. Granted, I know you can't put a house there, right, but we all have existing stuff along our property lines. I have irrigation. I have invisible fence. So this opens it up to a whole new thing where someone can go in there. and build or do something there.
Not if your irrigation company and an electric fence company followed a property line. You have no concern because you're getting relieved of the easement as well. So there should be no concern if the irrigation company followed some sort of survey, because that's not going to be touched, because that was always in your property. That was always in your property.
Sorry, it would also be
very helpful if someone could draw in what the setback lines are, because front setback in the R3 zone is 30 feet from the front property line. It's 16 feet from the side property line. And for accessory buildings, you can't put an accessory building in the front yard, period. Okay? And that would be considered the front yard. And I think that would help Ms. Barrios understand what the restrictions are in that triangular area that's lined in red.
Ms. Barrios, do you understand what he means by accessory building, like a permanent garden shed or a pool house, something, any other permanent structure would be considered an accessory building, just to clarify that. Dave speaks strictly in regulations.
I understand.
But to give you another perspective, like if someone was to put a temporary garden shed on that triangle that didn't meet the definition of a permanent structure, they're no more enabled to do that after this takes place than currently, because it's temporary.
And who determines it's temporary, Dad?
Like a plastic garden shed from Home Depot?
I'm not sure if our regulations allow that in the front yard. That's for a later discussion.
Right, it's neither here nor there.
Just to add to this again, just for clarification, these easement reductions have been approved by the Board of Aldermen. The gas company has already given their consent to this reduction in easement, even though the final documentation is forthcoming.
Just as a note,
so that has no bearing on this subdivision.
Just as a note on the Board of Aldermen meeting, that we were told that it would be a public hearing. Neither myself or Ms. Shepherd was allowed to speak in the Board of Aldermen meeting last night.
Correct. I was advised to bring this up tonight at tonight's meeting.
This is the correct place to be heard.
Thank you. Okay. But it was approved last night.
Correct.
Right?
So basically...
Mr. Chair, one thing to be clarified, because the city, the Board of Aldermen did not approve the reduction of the gas easement. That was only stormwater and sewer.
Thank you, Mark. So Ryan, can I ask you a question that might also help you understand?
I think there were separate approvals last night, and they approved the reduction of the easement also.
That's all they did. That's all
they approved. They approved the reduction of the easement.
Right. But not the gas easement.
No, they had nothing to do with the Southern Connecticut. No, just the City of Derby easement.
Right.
So you're still waiting for the gas approval.
They're waiting for the document to be signed, because there's an issue with the lender. The gas company is 100% in favor of the reduction. It's just a matter of the lender doing a subordination. And that's why this lot split is separate.
Is there anything in writing from the gas company stating that this has been approved by them?
Yes. And an email of approval has been shared with the commission.
It's an email from the gas company of an approval?
Correct.
Or an actual document from them?
They've consented to the easement as proposed.
Are we allowed to see that?
Yes, I can bring it up right now. Hold on.
Okay, so this is an email, correct? And it says no improvements can be placed within the easement without a permit from Eversource. So this is an email from Stephanie.
I can read part of a letter she sent to me, dated June 17th. Yankee Gas Service, doing business as Eversource Energy, received the request to modify an existing easement across private properties indicated on the enclosed map. As legal counsel for the requester, please prepare the enclosed modification of easement documents and preliminary certificate of title, which should include all encumbrances existing on the premises. Have them executed and returned to me for review and execution on behalf of Yankee Gas. To obtain a physical copy of this document package, please email me your request. Once I have an opportunity to review and execute the documents, the original easement modification will be returned to you with permission to record and final recording instructions. So they have agreed to reduce the easement area. It's just a matter of these documents being codified, and it was just a discussion with the lender, which should be clarified hopefully next week.
Again, I just want to voice my concerns about having something approved before you have the necessary approvals in place. Particularly ones that we've not seen, other than emails or whatever. It's like we don't know what the final is going to look like. We don't know what the final approval is going to be. I don't want to speak for Kim, but I speak for myself when I say that I would prefer nothing being approved until all of the formalities have been taken care of appropriately.
Well, the final approval will be exactly what you see on the map. Nothing's going to change from that map.
Is there anyone else from the public who'd like to address the committee at this time? Anyone else from the public?
No, my final comment is that I am vehemently opposed to this being approved without everything being in order.
Thank you. Anyone else from
the public? I agree with Kathy as well. I think we all deserve that. We've all been Derby taxpayers for 30 years, we're all in the same boat. So we should all be treated the same. Just because I'm not on the board, I feel that I should be protected as well. That's what this meeting's about.
Thank you, Mick Shepherd. Anyone else from the public? So, Ryan, do I read in your motion?
I think, Mr. Chair, you would want to close the public hearing. Have a motion to close the public hearing first.
So moved.
Seconded by Dan. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Why is this being closed for the public?
So we can move on. I asked if there was anyone else from the public who wished to address the committee.
And I did.
I'm closed. Yes, and you spoke. And we're closing the public portion now. We're closing the public hearing.
For this evening.
Correct.
For this time, for tonight, you're saying. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just for clarification. If they vote to close the public hearing, that's the public hearing on the application is closed for all purposes at this point. If that motion passes.
Why would you do that when you have concerns from two of the neighboring properties and you haven't gotten the necessary approvals? Why would the public hearing be closed permanently?
I don't agree with that.
Well, it is part of the process of acting on any application. There's the applications filed. On some applications, at this subdivision, re-subdivision, there's a public hearing. Once all the evidence is submitted, public hearing is closed, and the commission will take action on the application after the closure of the public hearing.
Well, has all the evidence that, submitted? Yeah,
all the information has not been submitted at the time. You don't have all the paperwork, the approvals.
You're wanting.
So why would you close it?
Right. You're wanting us to wait for the gas approval, which may never get approved, and then you're closing it. So that doesn't, doesn't seem like that's our best interest.
That's right.
The application, the motion was made and seconded. Was there a vote taken?
No. But there hasn't been a vote taken yet. There hasn't been a vote. So is there a chance for somebody to still make another comment?
Ryan, is open. Because of the extension given to keep the public hearing open, is it in the benefit to just keep the public hearing open? Or should we vote to close it?
So, Mr. Chairman, I think, isn't it procedurally, we need to close the public hearing in order to move forward? If the public has nothing more to say, then that's why the hearing is closed and the commission can go do their work. Is that kind of how is that a way to explain it? That there won't be any debate after this. I mean, the commission's going to make a decision after this, and that'll be what happens. Am I right?
That's what I thought.
I mean, that's my understanding of how the process works.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's correct, Mr. Harris.
And I can appreciate the fact that, you know, some folks think that maybe that's not completely proper, but that is how the process is outlined that we follow.
What is the purpose of having the public voice their concerns if we're not happy with the information that we have received thus far and you guys are going to vote to close the public hearing and then you decide? So basically, really, we've kind of wasted our time for 2 months.
I'm sorry, Ms. Barrios. I don't believe that's the case. We actually, you've made some good points, and now we can take those points under consideration. Once we close the public hearing, then we can do our job, which is to take those points under consideration. And
that's correct. Can anyone
hear me? Can't do that now. We can't do that in the public portion. We need to. That's why we need to. And that's.
No, I understand closing the public hearing for this evening, but. So we no longer get to participate in any of the future meetings to see the outcome of what the committee has taken into consideration.
Attendance. You can attend these meetings.
That's what we're asking.
There's nothing done in the background. It's just that.
That's what we were asking. But
you can stay on the meeting. And if there's more meetings, they'll be publicized.
Perfect.
There's nothing that happens without the public being aware of it.
Right.
All right.
Thank you, Bill.
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me this evening?
Yes, I can, Kevin.
Raul?
Yes, I can.
The comments by the public have been heard. It's the decision now of the commission to close the public hearing after they've heard the comments. Mm-hmm. Once they've done that, then they move on to the next step. If they feel that the more information is forthcoming or they need more information to make the vote, then you keep the public hearing open. But it's pretty clear cut. The comments have been heard. You've made a motion to close the public hearing. You vote in favor of that or keep it open with a nay vote.
Thank you, Kevin. Should I go around the room for a vote to be taken, or should I just
no.
ask for a second again?
The motion's been made and seconded.
Correct. Yeah. And Dan seconded it.
So now you have to have the clerk call the roll.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I understand. If you don't close the public hearing, I don't see how we can vote.
We can't.
We're voting to close the public hearing, Bill.
All right.
You're voting to close the public hearing.
So if we, okay.
Usually these votes go through quickly, but because this is, you know.
I understand. I just want to make sure I understand what we're voting on, right?
Yeah, you're just voting to close the public hearing, which will then, from that moment on, all the information on your next procedure will be the information that you have in hand at the close of the public hearing.
Right. And then we can vote.
Correct.
Then we can deliberate.
If we don't close the public
hearing. You can deliberate. David is correct. Now you deliberate as to what you've heard so far and whether you want to do anything after that. But at this point in time, the vote is to close the public hearing.
So can we deliberate with the public hearing being open?
No.
Correct.
We can't deliberate
on the information that you've received up to the end of the closing of the public hearing.
Yes, you'll see in your agenda. There's the next item in the agenda is discussion and possible action regarding the same application.
Right, that's with the public hearing closed.
Correct.
Correct.
So we can't do anything if we don't close the public hearing. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Correct.
That's right, Bill.
All right.
There's a motion on the floor.
There's a motion. Dan seconded it. We go around the room. Al Mizowitz.
Favor of closing.
Dave Kupchansky.
Aye.
Ray Sadlick.
Aye.
So the motion passed. So the public hearing is closed.
You didn't call all the names.
You didn't call the names.
I made the motion. Dan seconded it. Al, Dave, Ray. I'm sorry, well, Bill.
Well, Dan, and you didn't vote.
Technically,
right,
you have to vote.
Because we opened. I made the motion.
Still have to vote.
Still got to vote. Yay and nay.
You still got to vote.
Still need to vote in favor or opposed.
I vote in favor. Dan.
Aye.
Bill.
Okay.
Aye.
So that's everyone.
Motion carries.
Public hearing is closed. On to 7A, old business. Theodore S. DeJuan, Cynthia S. DeJuan, 43 Franklin Avenue, resubdivision application for a two-lot resubdivision discussion and possible action. What is the pleasure of the committee? Ryan.
I just like to make sure we have this down. It seems that we have Mr. McEnvoy saying that we can't approve this with a condition. And we have Mr. Lamar saying that we can't approve this with a condition.
Who? Mr. Who?
Lima.
Mr. Lima?
Lima. So... is that then us to decide which one of these people advice we should be taking? And if we didn't approve it,
What's the timeline for the lender to approve this?
Mr. Mizwitz, just to, one point of clarification. Just Mr. Lima is the corporation counsel for the city, the city's attorney. Mr. McAvoy is the engineer.
Right.
And unfortunately, Mr. Attorney Sponheimer can no longer address the commission with the public hearing closed. So I don't think anyone can really answer your question, unfortunately.
But I bet it's less than 30 days, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, just so the commission understands the procedure with this, a subdivision is not effectuated until the map is filed. That is true across any community in the state. So if the map is not filed, not endorsed by the chair, in this case, Mr. Sanchez, and filed on the land records within the statutory timeframes, it's null and void. So in other words, they have 90 days post termination of the appeal period, with the possibility of two 90-day extensions after that for 270 days, possibly. That would be their time frame to get the easements in order, get their maps adjusted based on the suggestions I put in the conditions. And if they cannot do that within that time frame, then the subdivision becomes null and void.
Thank you.
Any other comments from commission members?
Yeah, can you read the motion in so we can hear exactly what we're discussing as possible action?
Would now be the time, Ryan?
I'm not sure if anyone's made a motion yet. Mr. McAvoy submitted
to clarify, so if we could read the motion that Ryan's drafted.
Would that be appropriate, Ryan?
I'm trying to pull it up, 1 second.
No, I have it. Can you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is application 43 Franklin Avenue, application for resubdivision. The motion, following review of the plans and supporting documentation supported in support of this application, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the resubdivision application on property shown on Derby Assessor's Map 4-5, lots 102 and 104, subject to the following conditions. The approval shall be based upon the following documents submitted in support of this application. 1, application for approval of subdivision, resubdivision. 2, copy of property description from the Derby Land Records. 3, adjacent property owners of proposed building lot. 4, map entitled Easement Reduction 43 Franklin Avenue, M4-5, B102-104, Derby, Connecticut, dated June 4th, 2024. 5, map entitled Resubdivision 43 Franklin Avenue, M4-5, B102 and 104, Derby, Connecticut, dated May 6th, 2024. Number 6, map entitled Easement Map, map showing existing Yankee Gas easement to be modified and easement area to be granted to Yankee Gas DBA Eversource Energy across the property of Theodore and Cynthia S. 143 Franklin Avenue, Derby, Connecticut. 7, email correspondence from Eversource dated June 30th, 2024. 8, verbal testimony from the Planning and Zoning Commission, members of the public and city staff at the 5/21/24. 6/18/24, 6/25/24, 7/16/24, and 7/18/2024 public hearings, with the following stipulated conditions. 1, prior to endorsement by the acting chairman and conveyance of any lots from the owner, the filing of the subdivision map and all approved reductions and easements shall be filed on the Derby Land Records in accordance with the general statutes of the state of Connecticut. 2, the resubdivision map shall be reviewed for compliance by the zoning enforcement officer, the city engineer, and corporate counsel prior to filing on Derby Land Records. The subdivision map shall be revised to A, remove any references to proposed buildings, driveways, or topography. B, depict the easement modifications as shown on reference maps number 4 and number 6. C, add the following, approved by the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, chairman, and date. 3, any significant changes or modifications to the plans presented will require subsequent review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. 4, any application for a building permit on Lot 2 must first satisfy the plot plan requirements, Section 195-129. In addition to the requirements in Section 195-129, the following is required. A, that proposed driveway runoff and roof runoff be first directed to rain gardens, underground stormwater chambers, or connected into cross-country drainage lines to limit the impact of impervious subjects, surfaces on abutting property owners. B, sediment and erosion controls be shown to limit the transport of sediment to downgradient properties prior to lot disturbance. That's the motion. Anything you want me to read again, Dan?
No, I'll make that in the form of a motion.
Raul?
Yes, Ray.
What is the appeal period and when does that start? Maybe that's a question for Brian.
Well, it will start upon the publication of the notice of the commission's action.
And it's how long is that appeal period?
15 days from publication.
And then the 90 days starts that they have to file the map, correct? To get all this other stuff in order.
Correct.
Thank you.
So Ryan, do I read that in and take a vote again?
You have a motion on the floor.
I don't think we made a motion yet, right?
I did. Right. I'll make that read in as a form of a motion.
Is there a second?
Discussion?
So you need a second. I'll second it. Unless you did, Raul.
No. Seconded by Bill. Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes, David.
Yes. We have two diametrically opposed positions on this application. One held by our planner that we could go ahead and we could approve the subdivision while we don't have a formal approval from Eversource on the easement reduction. And then we have another position by our corporation counsel, Brian Lima, stating that we can't do that. Okay, we can't place a condition on an outside party approving this. My question is there some kind of language that we could include in this motion that would be a compromise or an accommodation that would help resolve this dilemma that we find? And I don't know who could answer that, but anybody who has an idea on that, I think it would be very helpful.
Well, Mr. Kupchansky, the only thing I think I could say on that is that Mr. McAvoy's motion was very well drafted.
Yes, I know that. I know that.
Okay. About as well drafted as it could be have been.
Okay, so you're comfortable with it?
Oh, my statements earlier are still. I haven't changed my position, but to your comment about whether you could include additional language that would address my concerns, I think the answer is no. But again, you know, his motion is well drafted. I just have the concerns that I expressed. Yeah,
Brian, it seems like the condition that they're putting on this, that the Eversource easement is approved before that they file the subdivision, the re-subdivision map, is, I think that's a pretty strong indication that the subdivision will not take place unless Eversource agrees to that easement reduction. I don't know if that exposes the city to any, you know, any kind of action because we do that. And, you know, but it seems very reasonable.
Dave. I mean,
yeah.
Or Mr. Chairman.
Yes, right.
Just to, in the discussion that Dave is trying to make, I believe Eversource has agreed. We have that. Mr. Sponheimer has. He presented that to us. It's just a matter of it getting executed by the lender.
That's the rub.
So the easement reduction is okay. Eversource is good with it. It's just that the property, the lien, first lien holder, I guess, has to put their signature to it. And that's, you know, entirely not our, out of our hands. It really is.
But Ray, to your point, we saw an email and we heard from a letter saying that Eversource improves the easement.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But Ray's also bringing out the point, and that point exists, is that another party has veto power over this, and it's outside of our control. And even if it's a slight chance, the chance still exists, right? So, I guess I would ask, do we have sufficient guardrails on the motion that need to be addressed, that you can sweep up this particular aspect of it within those other limitations that Ryan's put on the motion? There's a lot of work that needs to be done before this is finished. So, which includes talking to the people that we're working the easements with. So it's that's my thought. There's enough things that need to be done in order to make this whole project come. Just because we approve something doesn't mean the whole thing comes together tonight. There's still a lot of things that need to be done, work that needs to be done, and guardrails in place that protect everyone's interests, including the folks that came to the meeting from the public.
And I'll just say my experience in doing this on the other side of the table when I'm representing applicants, there's often a laundry list of items, checkboxes that need to be checked before you're permitted to file a subdivision map on the land records, post-approval granted by the Planning and Zoning Commission. So it's not unusual that there's deeds that need to be filed, that maps need to be adjusted in some minor way, that signatures need to be obtained, that, you know, other conditions, to the extent that there are conditions, need to be met. So it's not unusual at all. It's just there's not often subdivisions in Derby at this point.
Any other comments?
I just like to say, I think we've had way bigger applications than this that had conditional things with DOT that they need their approval after where we've already approved things.
Like the one we approved on discussed rather on
like Trolley Point
or like Dewdrop.
Right.
So is it appropriate to vote on this motion? Ryan or Brian?
Has it been made and seconded? I'm sorry, I just trying to recall.
It was made and seconded, yes.
Okay.
Should it be voted on?
Commission's pleasure.
Do it roll.
Next step.
Roll.
Okay. I approve. Dan?
I vote aye.
Al?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
Ray?
Aye.
So moved. Motion passes. There's nothing else.
I move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Dave seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Going back to vacation mode.